All right, I'll just do it myself. It's just there's no purport. Prasadayam asasatim murdam namrena bharata. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King Parikshit, when Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati, he descended from his airplane, bowed before her with great humility, and pleased her completely." Text 17. Chitraketu Ruvacha Patigranami Te Sapan Atmano Anjalinam Bite Ke Dever Martyaya Ya Proktam Purva Dishtam Hi Tasya Tat Chitraketu Ruvacha Patigranami Te Sapan Atmano Anjali Nambike Devir Martyaya Yat Proktam Purvadishtam Hitashatat Chitraketuruvacha Patigranami Te Sapam Atmano Anjali Nambike Devir Martyaya Yat Proktam Purvadishtam Hitashyatat Chitraketuruvacha Te Saksam Atmano Anjali Nambike Devir Matyaya Yat Proktam Purdisham Itashyatat Keturvacha Tikranami Te Sapam Chitraketu Ruvacha, King Chitraketu said, Patigranami, I accept, Te, your, Sapan, curse, Atmanaha, my own, Anjalina, with folded hands, Ambike, O Mother, Devahe, by the demigods, Martyaya, unto the mortal, yet which Proktam described, Purvadishtam, fixed previously according to one's past deeds. He indeed, Tasha, of him, Tut, that. Chitraketu said, "My dear mother, with my own hands folded together, I accept the curse upon me. I do not mind the curse, for happiness and distress are given by the demigods as a result of one's past deeds." Srila Prabhupada's purport. Since Chitraketu was a devotee of the Lord, he was not at all disturbed by the curse of Mother Parvati. He knew very well that one suffers or enjoys the results of one's past deeds as ordained by Deva Netra, superior authority, or the agents of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knew that he had not committed any offense at the lotus feet of Lord Shiva or Goddess Parvati, yet he had been punished, and this means that the punishment had been ordained. Thus the king did not mind it. A devotee is naturally so humble and meek that he accepts any condition of life as a blessing from the Lord, Tatenu kampam susamikshamanaha. Bhagavatam, 10th canto. A devotee always accepts punishment from anyone at the mercy of the Lord. If one lives in this conception of life, he sees whatever reverses occur to be due to his past misdeeds, and therefore he never accuses anyone. On the contrary, he becomes increasingly attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of his being purified by his suffering. Suffering, therefore, is also a process of purification. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in this connection that one who has developed Krishna consciousness and who exists in love with Krishna is no longer subject to suffering and happiness under the laws of karma. Indeed, he is beyond karma. The Brahma Samhita says, Karmani niradhati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. A devotee is free from the reactions of his karma because he has taken true devotional service. This same principle is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Sagunan Samatityetan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. One who is engaged in devotional service has already been freed from the reactions of his material karma, and thus he immediately becomes Brahma Bhuta or transcendental. This is also expressed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Shiyante Chashakarmani. Before attaining the stage of love, one becomes free from all the results of karma. The Lord is very kind and affectionate toward his devotees, and therefore a devotee in any condition is not subject to the results of karma. A devotee never aspires for the heavenly planets. The heavenly planets, liberation and hell, are non-different for a devotee, for he does not discriminate between different positions in the material world. A devotee is always eager to return home back to Godhead and remains there as the Lord associate. This ambition becomes increasingly fervent in his heart, therefore he does not care about material changes in his life. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that Maharaj Chitraketu's being cursed by Parvati should be considered the mercy of the Lord. The Lord wanted Chitraketu to return to Godhead as soon as possible. Therefore, he terminated all the reaction of his past deeds. Acting through the heart of Parvati, the Lord, who was situated in everyone's heart, cursed Chitraketu in order to end all his material reactions. Thus, Chitraketu became Vritasura in his next life and returned home back to Godhead. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyabari Paschatya Deshatarane Radio Bhagavan Brajeshas Tanayostad Dhamma Vrindavanam Ramya Kaschidubasanam Brajabadu Varginava Kalpita Shri Mad Bhagavatam Pramanam Mamalam Prema Pumar Tamahan Om Yam Brahma Varunindra Rudra Muranti Divyestaver Vede Sangapada Kramopani Sadir Gayanti Yam Samagaha Jenna Basti Tatagatena Manasa Pashanti Yam Yogino Yashantam Nabiduhu Surasuna Ganadevatas Me Tamaha Ajanu Lambita Bujo Kanakabatato Sankirtane Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksho Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Palo Bande Jagat Puryakaro Kurunayavataro. Namaste Stu Damne, Spuradipti Damne, Twadiyotarayata Viswasya Damne, Namo Radhikaye, Twadiya Priyaye, Namo Nantalilaya Devaya Tubhyam. We are here this month for the mercy. I will talk about this, but the boss over here told me I had to speak about Srila Prabhupada today and things. But just because that is crossing my head, I was thinking, this month, I have come since 1982. I was here in the 70s, but continually since 82. And the potency on the first day, I know, I tell you, I come here 2-3 weeks many times before, or around ostomy time. Hard to get up in the morning. But the first day of Kartik, you fly up. The potency is so much. So if one is fortunate to be here, and he is intelligent, you have to be intelligent spiritually to advance in Krishna consciousness. It takes spiritual intelligence, this transcendental intelligence. So it's like different types. If you go in the city, then it's very slow. Your car is moving. Stop, go, stop. So when one is staying out in the material world or in the energy of Maya, and he's maintaining family, he's working, especially in the West, because it is very covered. You don't see any temples. All you see is a few churches. But there's nothing to remind you of God, except some dead guy up on a stick. So there's nothing that's not God. That's irreligious. It's nothing to do with spiritual life. But to them, spiritual life is moral activity, but not spiritual realization. So going in the city, everything is stop and go. So I compare that to your material life in Krishna consciousness. You're trying to be Krishna conscious, but the atmosphere is not helping or inducive to Krishna consciousness. It doesn't help you. All you have is the holy name, and if the temple is there, that's number two, and you're attending that place, and that is a favorable place, because sometimes the temple is not favorable. You know, you don't feel any happiness going there because of the internal going-ons. So your spiritual life is slow. And then number two, you're on the highway. So you're going faster. You're going steadily. And that would be like a devotee who's doing preaching. He's distributing books. He's engaged in trying to spread Krishna consciousness. And therefore, he stays out in the material energy for this purpose, to spread Krishna consciousness. So he's moving along. He's feeling the Lord in his heart. He's getting some inspiration. And then there is NASCAR, Formula One, where they're moving at rapid rate around the track. We used to go to the fairs in 72, I can't believe. I was doing the state fairs all across America, Texas, Minnesota, Wisconsin. Vishnu John Maharaj was also working the same fairs. He was doing these t-shirts. They spray that thin paint. Huh? No stencil. In those days, that was popular. Anyway, and we were distributing some small books and incense. But we used to have to park in the middle of this racetrack. And there was a tunnel you could go under to go into the fair. And we'd sit there, and brahmacharis would go and whatever. But the cars were just going, having the race. And we'd be chanting mantras and reading. But you're moving. It's rapid speed with no interruption. This is Vrindavan, where you can go fast. This place you can go fast to Krishna if you apply yourself, if you concentrate, if you understand how to do that, how to move, what is Krishna wanting, what is he feeling, how he will be pleased upon you, because this is his direct Dom, this is a direct home. We see people come here, but they come for a change of scenery. That's all. You know? And they spend their time in Loi Bazaar, shopping, thinking of home. They're here, but their mind is still there. They haven't left anywhere. Their body is here, but they're thinking of home, counting their days until they can go back to that place. So even that is austerity, that is purifying. But Srila Prabhupada used to say, you will not find Krishna loitering in Loi Bazaar. And Loy Bazaar, you know, used to be these fellows, the Ganga Prasad and Mahesh and Dinesh and this Nesh and that Nesh. These people were so poor. My God, they were poor when we came. They, you know how Indian ladies are, especially, they did the shopping. Men never shopped in those days. Still today, prominently, women do. But they would make them take 50 saris down and open them all up, with no mercy at all. No consideration that they got to fold them up and put them back up there. And they would do it, and maybe they would pick one, or maybe they wouldn't. I've seen the piles. The piles of just saris stacked up in chudders and whatever. They just throwing them, and no, 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 and yelling at. They treat them like dogs, these merchants. Because then their mentality is like a barker. They're barking you in. Come on in, come on in. Like a prostitute. Come on over to see me. You know, and when you hear Hari Bol in Vrindavan, you're hearing, give me money, give me money. When you walk, you try to walk down the bazaars, you hear Hari Bol. Oh, it's, all I hear is, come here and give me some money. That's what, and you know the shocking thing that hurt me? Is now I go to Mayapur and I hear the same devotees that were in the temple calling Hari Bol. They have a little shop somewhere. And they're also now changed the mantra to give me money. The meaning is not chant the name, it's give me money. So they were very poor people down there. And now they're very wealthy. But I was here in those days. So in Vrindavan, the mood, the energy here is so superior to any other place. Even if I go to Rishikesh, I'm bored within 24 hours. As long as I'm not sitting in the Ganga, it's boring. Very boring place. And you go to Jagannath Puri, and that's very exciting. And as the story was told, who told that? That was Dinabandhu Prabhu, who told the story of J.P. Prabhupada said, I will never spend another Kartik in Mayapur. I only spend it here. So when I came here first time in the Vrindavan, it wasn't Kartik, but that was the January of 1972. And Srila Prabhupada was coming from the Delhi Pando, and I was in Mumbai, Bombay, and we were working and collecting, and we barely could make ends meet. People weren't giving. It was hard to get money because we were not established. And who are you people? Maybe you'll run away and everything. So difficult to get. So the temple president was Madhu Visa. And I said, "There, Prabhupada is going to..." And at this point, I think this is the beginning of the Guru Kripa that you know today. Because I was very submissive. I am still, but that's the Prabhupada. But I said, "Madhavi, I want to go to this Vrindavan. Prabhupada's going to Vrindavan. This is a once in a lifetime. I want to take advantage." "No, you have to stay here and collect. You can't go." So my dear God brother, crazy Rishi Kumar, if you've never heard of Rishi, he was a character. He was also from New York. And he just, you know, criticized everything. He couldn't pull any wool over his head. So Rishi comes to me and he says, "I'm going to go get the tickets." I said, "Okay." So I rebelled at that point, and we snuck out. Not snuck out, we just walked out, like going down to get a daub or something in front of the temple, and off we went. So nothing we knew. I had had jaundice, just recovering. So on the train all the way, I'm looking for coconuts, because Mumbai has coconut everywhere, and there was no coconut. And it got colder and colder. And we spent the first night in Mathura. And when we came in Vrindavan, we were one of the first white people they'd ever seen. Lalitananda, Prabhupada had sent him to stay with Ban Maharaj. He later became Rishikeshananda. And he came back to ISKCON and went back to Gaudiya Mata, another story. But they never seen any white people. And we would get some dahi, some lassi, they would throw it to us. We had to stay this far away from the shop. We were so untouchable. They would be like this. And then Srila Prabhupada came, and we went to all the Brajmandal Parikram on the bus, Govardhan and Radhakund. We took bath in Radhakund. People say don't take bath. Prabhupada sat, we took a bath. So people, when devotees started going in there swimming and fooling around, that's why Prabhupada said don't go. But it should be done respectfully. And that was that whole experience of Prabhupada here in Vrindavan going everywhere. So it's like Garga Muni was saying, you know, that I think of going on Brajmandal Parikram, but I went with Srila Prabhupada. So what else is there to accomplish? We got the mercy at that time. So the next time was in the Kartik. We come to this point. Kartik of 1972. So it was a wonderful time that, and we came, had gone in to open a temple in Bangalore. So we had gotten one office and we were making life members, and we opened, me and one other Vaishnava, we opened the Bangalore temple. So we came for Kartik, and Prabhupada had written us, and we were very excited because we had learned quite a bit of Sanskrit, and we'd gone and opened up the Tirupati temple for the Westerners. And we came to Mathura on the train, and the only way to come to Vrindavan is with horse and buggy. There was no motor rickshaw. You had to take the horse and the buggy. Have you taken horse and buggy? The horse is farting all the time. You know, it's constantly blasting gas at you. It's not the most pleasant trip. Maybe, I don't know what they're feeding that horse, but anyway, when we came, Prabhupada was in his room in Radha Damodar. He was staying in his room that it is there now at Radha Damodar. And we came off with this horse and buggy and came in that little door, you know, that goes to his toilet. We came in through that way. And he was so pleased to see us, and we started quoting some slokas and he asking him questions, because we'd gone to Udipi and had a debate with the swamis there, the Pechwar and the rest of these big swamis, and they were saying Lord Chaitanya isn't God and Radharani is not mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and these people are scholars. We're, you know, therefore that verse goes by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even you know, a fool can become a scholar, or a lame man can cross a mountain. And we were discussing this with Srila Prabhupada, and it was like the walls were melting in the room, the mellow of that. So that Vrindavan Kartik was very, very special, because every morning we were staying in Keshigat, in the castle that is there still. We had rooms, and that belonged to the Maharaj of Bharatpur. And he had promised to give this property to ISKCON, which he never did. This man was so rich, he had Rolls Royce, and he'd drive it to his other castle across the street. Drive out the gate into the other castle, park it, and go in that castle. But we would come, and in the morning, we would come out the morning and go into the Jamuna for the bath. The Jamuna was the Jamuna. It wasn't sewer water like now. Now it is the drainage from Delhi and other cities, Faridabad or whatever. They're draining their sewer, and the Jamuna is dammed. But we would take bath, and during the day we would sit up on those pillars and dive in the river and swim. So we would come in the morning and Prabhupada would do the give Bhagavatam class. Now, we've all heard the Nectar of Devotion lectures in Vrindavan, but I don't know why the Bhagavatam classes weren't recorded, because he did that every morning. And those classes are not anywhere to be found. And that back of Damodar, you've seen the pictures, was overgrown shrubs and trees. And how many people were observing Kartik Vrat? Some old ladies would come and do the parikram, walk around. Not like now, you can't even get in the door. And they monkey-proofed it, and it's, you know, but it was very, you know, and we were so poor, just like you're taking notes, you can do that. You could also record it, but we didn't have any tape recorders. We couldn't afford one. So I used to take notes. Me and this other devotee, we would team up and we'd go over the whole thing, and then right after class, we'd sit and just go through what Prabhupada said, to stick it in our head. And then Srila Prabhupada, after that Bhagavatam, he'd say, "Now walk around four times." And we never did. We never did. We would go once and take off, go get something to eat. We go get samosa in the market. Two samosa for 25 paisa. Two for 25 paisa. Get samosa. And at that Keshi Ghat, next to Keshi Ghat is a school. You've seen the school. So these school kids, the news was out that we were CIA, working with this undercover we were acting like we were devotees. That's how they could not believe it so much, that we were genuine, that they had to say, well, they got to be CIA. They're so clever, these Americans. They came up with dressing like sadhus. Because America was backing Pakistan then. And India and America were not on friendly terms at all. So they thought they're working for the Pakistani-American coalition, and they've been here. So these things came out in publications. So they would throw rocks at us. I came out of the Keshi Ghat palace there one day, and there was like 20 kids throwing rocks at me. And I was with another devotee, and this was fun, man. I got some rocks and attacked them. We started throwing rocks back. I'm only 21 years old, you know. not throwing rocks at me. And we'd go in Loy Bazaar, and they would, like, you know, try to hit us with sticks, and it wasn't good. It wasn't good. But in the afternoon, then Srila Prabhupada would give Nectar Devotion. And then he said to me, he started calling me Maharaj. And I said, "Srila Prabhupada, I'm a brahmachari." "You are?" "Immediately take sannyas." And I had no intention of taking sannyas. I had no interest in the matter. I was just doing my service. And then I objected. I said, "Prabhupada, I don't want to take sannyas." What for?" He said, "You must. If you're preaching everywhere, you must be a sannyas." I was 22 years old. I'd been a devotee now for 2 years and 6 months. And now I'm going to take sannyas. So there were two other fellows, Paramahamsa and Parivrakacharya. These two fellows had come from Boulder, Colorado. Two tall guys. They went in Prabhupada's room early in the morning and said, "Srila Prabhupada, we also want to take sannyas." So they should be probably, "Yes, everybody should take sannyas." And then Shamsundar and Tamal, they went to Prabhupada and said, "Srila Prabhupada, just can't handing this out to everybody. We know Guru Kripa, we know he's preaching, but these two guys, we don't even know who they are." So then Srila was like, "Oh, we will wait on that, you know." So they came up with a scheme and came into Srila Prabhupada and said, "We're going to Vietnam." and the Vietnam War was going on, we're going to go to Vietnam and preach. And the truth is they couldn't even have gotten a visa because, you know, I'd been in Vietnam as a soldier, and there's no way they could go there unless you're a reporter or you're an official. But probably you're going to preach in a war zone. You must be a sannyas. So we had the fire sacrifice. And Prabhupada quoted that verse, anyway, I forget, but he looked at these two and he said, I'm taking a chance with you two. And I was sitting there thinking, why isn't pointing at me? You know, well, I guess I know now, I'm here and they're not. But then Pancho Devita, he went in, he wanted to take sannyas and so forth. But these classes and the Jamuna and Vrindavan, this was Kartik. And we didn't know. And then that was the only time I was here in the Kartik time when Srila Prabhupada, because he didn't come, he didn't talk about it. He all mentioned one day, he said, this Urjravrat, he said, these women are doing this. And we said, can we do it? He said, you cannot. You cannot do. I did for about 10, 12 years. Once a day, eat seven temples, sleep on the floor, 64 rounds, like that, if you're serious, when young people can do these things easy. Anyway, this is the Vrindavan Dham. So everybody's here. And more people coming each year, and more we're closer to changing our bodies, especially us older people. How many more days we will survive here, it's difficult to say. But even after Srila Prabhupada left, then I used to go sit with Vishwambhar Goswami. Vishwambhar Goswami, he was, we always have to seek out the higher association. This is the path to advance. Just to take a diksha does not do the trick. You have to find a higher association to make your own advancement. And without that, it is difficult, it is slow. So I was having my feud with ISKCON. I did not agree to the policies and to the concoction that Prabhupada pointed 12 acharyas, so which has been accepted now that he did not. He appointed a GBC and told the GBC, you make decisions. And this fellow's concocted this so to take power and see what happened, the reaction with most of them. They broke Prabhupada's orders and so many things. But anyway, I was staying there in the room in Vaishnav Kund, and we'd sit with the Goswami. And he was very saintly. You know, Padmanabh Goswami's father. Very saintly person. He had been the mayor of Vrindavan. He was a lawyer and the mayor. And his disciples came, 200 of them, because it is the family tradition that the son also takes the disciples, and they had a sit-in fast protest. We will not leave and fast until you give up your lawyership and mayorship and become just a sadhu, basically. Because Radha Raman, it's against the rules to take sannyas. Then you lose your right for the Radha Raman worship. So he did that. He told me I did that. And then he used to tell me all these stories of Prabhupada. He said, we knew when he was coming. We could hear his rickety bicycle with the kneaded grease on the wheels. We could hear Swamiji coming. He used to come and sit with me. And their family was the one that received Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and his disciples, because they closed all the doors except Radha Raman. They can't come in here, because you're initiating people that aren't born Brahmins. So the Goswami was very, very gentle. And he only ate like potatoes. Two German scientists came to study Vrindavan for some project they were doing. And they were staying at the... Goswami had given them one room. And they would come and eat. And they'd been there 10 days. So I came over and I went to take something to eat. And the one scientist started crying. Because they're Germans and they like their meat. And he was crying. Can't we have anything other than potatoes? Because he'd eat potatoes. And it would be cold. And I asked Goswami, I said, why you eat just this boiled cold food? He said, I made a vow never to give my tongue anything it liked. Because if you give the tongue things it likes, you'll not taste the holy name. So I never give it anything that it likes. And this way I can taste the holy name. He was very sweet, you know. And then I said to him one day, why don't you go to America? Because Prabhupada told us that he preached to them that you senior Goswamis should go and preach in America. You are experienced, you're cultured. You should not sit here. You should give your knowledge to the outside world. So I told the Goswami that. A couple days later, he told me, he said, yes, Radharamanji has told me to go. Make arrangement. Make arrangement? How am I going to do that? I'd just been married, and I have the pregnant wife, and that was this American wife. My son came from there, but I, you know, really didn't even have a job, you know. But anyway, it happened. I found a few rich devotees, and one, what's his name, Dharma Dyaksha. You hear him on the tapes always talking with Prabhupada and laughing. And so he knew the movie stars in Hollywood. And he arranged so many programs in the Malibu Hills and in the Venice area. And big movie stars. And these producers would come in their top of the line cars. And the Goswami would sit there. And they would come in, all these big Hollywood people, and Goswami would say, and your name is? Yes, and your name is? And after he spoke, then he knew everybody's name. He remembered everybody's name. So what do you think, Mr., you know, Pitt or whatever? He was, you know, like that. But I used to counsel him. I'd say, Goswami, because all he knew was Vrindavan. And all he talked about was Vrindavan and the Goswamis. And he'd start off the thing. Well, Rupa Goswami said this. One day Rupa Goswami was at Radhakund and he would start to talk like this. And they were fascinated because they didn't really know what he was talking about, but whatever it was, he sure did love it. And that's what they would tell me after, that he really loved what he was talking, and that's what they picked up on. Because these are not normal people to have that wealth and position and fame. And they can see things that a normal person... And they're used to people just coming to get their money. You know, so then I used to coax them. I say, Goswami, you can't do that. You know, you got to start with you're not the body. And he used to call me his little Swarup Damodar because I used to give him advice. But he did have one bad habit of drinking tea. This is India. He liked his tea. So he was so afraid of me about the drinking tea, and I didn't mind he drank tea. I just said, if ISKCON people see you drink tea, because we stayed in Los Angeles Temple and Laguna Beach Temple, and we went to different temples where he spoke, I said, they will find great fault in that, because Prabhupada left his wife over tea, and he was very strict about tea. So he used to go in the bathroom. Anyway, the point was that then I had that association, and then later I met Bhaktivedanta Puri Maharaj, who was Prabhupada's godbrother, very close, and he used to come every year here on Prabhupada's disappearance. The only one was invited was him during Kartik. And Maharaj, when he would walk through that door, even whoever was speaking, the whole place would stop and stand up. He didn't have to say anything. Am I right, Panchagoda? You were here? You were here, but you were working. He wasn't president. And the whole place was fascinated. And then he would start off, you know, Trinadapi Sunisena. He would speak very strong. So we also would do the Parikram. And Prabhupada used to have us do it with kirtan. It was all sand then. Vrindavan was sand. And we had peacocks. And if you went down here by the Ananda Krishnavan, where Ananda Krishnavan is right now, 100 meters behind Ananda Krishnavan was the Jamuna, a lake from the Jamuna. Crystal clear, 10 feet deep. You could see the bottom. And we'd go daily and dive in and swim and fool around and, you know, have fun. And then there was Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada, I came here one time from Mayapur, because we used to spend 2.5 months in Mayapur every year. And then I came, and there was some criticism. Bhagawan was criticizing somebody, that was his nature, and I got a little involved in that. And Prabhupada, we didn't have even a telephone then, so he had to send somebody to Vrindavan, and he called me to Delhi. Prabhupada said, "What are you doing there?" "I was just enjoying." "No, get out, go preach." I said, "But only 3 days, can I stay a week?" "No, go now." So I had to leave and go back. Anyway, to go to this verse, because I don't want to neglect this, Chitraketu Maharaj, he gave this example. And this whole Leela is very, very dear to me, because it's a personal thing, but I kind of had like a temple marriage, more or less. So I daily didn't have anything to do with this wife of mine. She wanted a child, we did it, and that was it. There was no hanky-panky or nothing. I didn't really care for her very much at all. But, you know, the sun came and I was doing my duty. And one day I came out of Guru Puja, we were in Honolulu. She looks at me and says, "I want a divorce." I said, "Why?" She said, "You're too old." I said, "I'm 36. I said, "You're 28. You're too old." I said, "Okay." So anyway, I got over it. You know, it wasn't a big problem. When they see women that they can't control you, I can't say all women, but all women. that's my opinion. Not of them all as vindictive as this. Then she saw that, okay, I easily gave up that thing. Then she used my son as a middle person and started. She went to the court and tried to get full custody of him with only supervised supervision. So the whole temple was behind her. You know, they're Guru people, Swami, now he's... They just want to see you down. They're happy to see you down and push you in the mud. This is the envious nature of the jiva. You know, they don't happy to see you... A Vaishnava is only happy to see you happy. But they're unhappy to see you happy, and they remember, oh, he used to boss me around. So they all got together, and she had a woman lawyer, and I walk into court alone, family court. She's 15, 20 devotees from the temple are with her, and she's got the woman lawyer, and this woman lawyer is putting a case, this man is this, whatever. So the judge says, "Okay, your turn." I said, "She's one of them Hare Krishnas. She's out there badgering the tourists, trying to push books down their throat and ruining the aloha spirit." Because that's what they want to hear. I said, "She's brainwashed. All them Hare Krishnas are brainwashed. Now she's going to brainwash my son." The judge gave me 50% custody. Then I came out and the devotee said, "How could you say that?" I said, "I know what to say to get my son." You know, and it worked. I got half the custody. But the thing was during this period, I was suffering so much over, you know, not seeing my son. And, you know, when they're 2 and a half, it's a very nice age. So I read this chapter, Achitraketu, and how he was grieving over his son. And how, you know, he was fainting, basically. And then Narad Muni come and Gira Maharaj come, and they said, you know, well, there's different ways you can look at it. You know, you can also look at it that this is your enemy. And now he's come to make you suffer some more. So if you look at it in that way, it's Krishna's mercy. No, we don't look at it that way. But if there's nothing you can do about it, just recently I got this really cool watch that the military uses. You should see that watch, I'll tell you about it. It's super lightweight. And it has a 20-year guarantee. It has this light, I don't know how they do it. You know, it's titanium and this light comes out at night. You can just wake up at night and wham. And it's got a black face. They used it when they went, all the guy Marines use it. They went to get Osama bin Laden. They all had that watch. And all the Coast Guard people use it. So I went to this sauna near my house in Bangkok. And I don't know, I left it in the locker. And I'd worn it for 2 weeks. Then I went back the next day and I know the boy working there, oh, I didn't see anything. So I was angry for about 5 minutes. And I thought, ah, well, somebody's enjoying it at least. So we can't, you know, dwell on things. And we have to give up lamentation quickly. So especially between devotees, to keep long standing, I don't like him. There's a nonsense mentality. If you don't like somebody, you avoid them. And to sit daily and criticize this person or that person, especially in Vrindavan and Kartik, shut your mouth. This is not the time for that. And it doesn't benefit you. If you're getting benefited, and then, you know, you can say something. I do all the time. I don't like the way that guy sings or something. But, you know, it's also Krishna's arrangement to purify them. And some people, it's amazing, they may come here and they don't seem to change, but they're changing within their heart. It changes us. Once I asked Prabhupada about Ajamil, I said, "Srila Prabhupada, this Ajamil, he left his good wife and went with the prostitute, and supposedly he had like 10 kids, and now he was an old man, and he was calling for Narayan, his son." So I calculated, probably he must have been 80 or 90 years old, and he was probably a young Brahmin, 22, 23, when he left his wife. So I said, he must have been blooped for 60 years. And Srila Prabhupada looked at me and said, "What is 60 years? It's nothing. 60 years is nothing. I just had my birthday yesterday, I guess, full moon. And that's 67. That's 67. And Lord Chaitanya is 500 and something. That's very short. Very short time." So anyway, this chapter, you can read it. Everything is said within there. And whatever happens to devotees, this is all by the will of the Lord. And I've had many, many things in my life happen which I thought were wrong. And it always turned out in my favor. Krishna's like a chess player. He sees 7 moves ahead. So I'm doing this. You know, I had where, he took away something. I had one devotee steal all this money from me. And I had to go there and deal with it. And I had to try to recoup this. And he left all this inventory, threw it at me, and I quit. So I was just wholesaling, but now I got to get rid of it, retail. And it really, really disturbed me. But the bottom line was I ended up going up to the VA because I had nothing to do and ended up getting a pension out of him. And if he hadn't stolen that $30,000, I wouldn't have got that, which is a lot more than that for the rest of your life. So there's always a plan. And Krishna's always favoring his devotee and doing everything to help him move along the path. So are there any questions before we fold it up? Yes, sir. You have a question?
I finished it.
No, you're correct. Jamuna is, personally, I used to go daily, but then I started getting skin rashes. So I started getting skin infections. So now what we can go and do puja and offer and put some water on the head. You know, you can take one drop, that's fine. But Prabhupada said that's sufficient. Even to see Jamuna or to live within 10 miles of Jamuna, it's better to be a dog along the bank of the Jamuna than a king in a foreign country. So anything to do with Jamuna is beneficial. And if some people want to take their bath, they should. But personally, if I'm up, it's become a little too much for me to deal with. So I just come and must go and worship. Samara? No, of course.
My question is, in your talk, you said that Paramahansa and Parvajakacharya, they also took sannyas. And Prabhupada told them to be careful and so on. And you made the remark that you are here today and they are not. My question is, in your view, why do some people leave? Why do others stay? Is there a simple answer to this? That's my question.
Well, you can never really leave. It's just that you may stop for a little while. And yesham chuantakatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva mohanir mukta bhajante mam dridavarata. If you have the punya, the sukriti, then you have some determination, despite all the obstacles. And, you know, who is not to say that they have, not had obstacles and difficulties? But if some of us have more determination to continue, and we know what's best for our best self-interest. So we can somehow check our senses, stop what we're doing, get on that plane and get over here, which is recharging the battery. Whereas others, I met Paramahamsa not too long ago. You know, he's become very, very wealthy, very wealthy. But he has doubts, and he always had doubts. And Parvajakacharya, he became a yoga teacher for the prince of Iran. And he also had doubts. Yeah, so they did not surrender fully. You have to enter the class. You have to fully surrender. And then, according to your surrender, whatever obstacles are there, you'll overcome them. And if you have doubts, then you may go away. That's all. But you'll come back eventually. You know, there's no loss or diminution. You'll start at 12% or 18 or 30, like Prabhupada said, in your next time. So I'm here by the mercy of the devotees in Vrindavan, Radharani, even the shopkeepers. They all expect me to come. So by their blessings, they're bridge bossies still. We come, and you too, you know. You always loved Vrindavan since you were young. Where's your brother? What happened to him? He's got two brothers, both devotees, you know. I don't see them around. Anybody else? Okay, take prasadam. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam.